Our prayer and meditation is going to come just a bit later in the service this morning. It's normally at this time. But right now it's time for a celebration of love and justice. So how many of you know the story of this banner? The year was 2007. It was 6 years ago when the banner was last in this sanctuary. And we held it up and we said that we were going to stand on the side of love and that we would not rest until marriage equality was gained for the state of New Jersey. And we took the banner out and put it on the front of our building and we said that it would not be brought back down until marriage equality was accomplished. And marriage equality was accomplished this week, my friends. For those of you who are guests, we used to be known as the Unitarian Church of Montclair, but we've decided to be more universalist in our approach to things, and so we are the Unitarian Universalist Congregation at Montclair. Things don't stand still. Things keep moving. Things keep moving. So what I wanted you to have the experience of this morning is hearing from some of your presidents, about the transition from, Lois Grebe was president, and she'll be the first person that we hear from. Lois was president from 1996 to 1998, and I'm going to drop the screen. So raising, by the way, raising the banner is sort of like retiring it into the rafters. It's not going to live there, but it's a great effect for this morning, isn't it? I love it. So there's Lois, and let's hear what Lois has to say, and then we're going to hear from Ruth Carr, who was president from 2000 to 2003. Then we'll hear from Janice Maffei electronically. She was president from 2003 to 2006. Sabina von Alec will be here electronically as well. She was our president from 2006 to 2008. Nick Lewis is here in person, and he was the immediate past president, and Teresa D'Souza will also then speak. Lois, what would you say to us this morning?
My heart is with all of you this morning as you celebrate this momentous milestone in New Jersey. Through the years, this church has nurtured and developed an understanding of equality and fairness. This sanctuary has been and continues to be a safe place for the LGBT community. As one of the first accredited welcoming congregations, you have risen to each challenge with determination and purpose. Now you can be proud to reap the benefits of your hard work. You are to be congratulated for being in the forefront of fostering human decency and marriage equality. I am pleased to have been with you in that rainbow struggle during my wonderful time in Montclair. You are blessed to be part of this congregation that always strives for the right to do the right thing and to live its mission of seeking transformation in our hearts. May you ever be a beacon of justice and equality and indeed love.
And so now, Ruth.
I'm over here, I want to speak.
Yes, well, but you're on.
Good morning. I'm Ruth Carr, for those of you who don't know me. And I want to tell you, it's a great thrill to be back. I just love to come and visit. Unfortunately, I live too far to be here all the time, but you're never far from my thoughts. I was president of the congregation from 2000 to 2003. And during that time, we had already had the welcoming congregation by my former president. And we had the focus month that year, 2000, of being a welcoming congregation. So that the entire month of February we devoted to working on it and to hearing sermons about it and to, you know, hearing about it in our groups. And that had been going on for 8 years. I want to make a point here that often in some churches, there was the adoption of the welcoming congregation, but like a name only. Nothing much was done. In our church, on the contrary, we were intentional about actually doing something about it and welcoming people, making sure they knew about us. We were very active in that. That year, we also had a mission and covenant statement, which was adopted, and it said to promote social and economic justice, working to dismantle all forms of oppression. And we really worked hard on that because you know how much goes into making a new mission and covenant statement. And we earned a certificate that we are a welcoming congregation after 4 years of a process from the UUA. So it was more than just a banner. It was a lot that we worked and really participated in. And it's a process. And we're so happy to see that the banner has been retired because the goal has been reached. And it seemed at the time that it was never going to happen. And here's some, just briefly, statistics from the year 2000. 10% of youth are gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgendered. 25% of homeless youth are gay. 30 to 40% of youths, gay youths attempt suicide. And 50% of those that do attempt it are gay kids. And I just wanted to know that that's, you know, alarming statistics and how we're making progress. I don't know what the statistics are today. What are we, 14 years hence? And I'm hoping that it's much better than that. But it's a privilege to be back here. It was a privilege to be president. Some of the happiest years of my life. Thank you.
Janice Maffei, from 2003 to 2006.
Hi, UU friends. This is Janice Maffei, a former president of the congregation. It's a delight to be with you, if only in this format, to celebrate what is a great achievement in today's service. I think back to my early work on a reframed mission. This is even before I became president, where we talked about and really captured in words on the page that we were all about promoting social justice, dismantling homophobia, reaching out and welcoming all, and taking responsibility to solve the problems of our community. And that started to come to life with work that really Charlie, you know, was an incredible leader, I think, for our congregation. In 2003, he began these trips to New Paltz, where it was, I think it was called the New York Wedding Project. And our board and congregation offered significant sort of moral support for his work. And I think I can remember one particular occasion in which he was welcomed back with a standing ovation at a service that was back some 10 years ago. In January 2005, I can recall there was a celebration of Sacred Unions, a Sunday afternoon event of interfaith. Charlie joined with a local rabbi, and it was really an affirmation and celebration of couples of all kinds. So again, this work that we celebrate today, it's part of a long journey and a proud tradition in our congregation. My congratulations to all of you, all of us, really, for the work that's been done, with a special thanks, a special call out to Charlie for his leadership, his dedication, his inspiration in leading the way here. Cheers, all good things. Bye.
Good morning, my beloved Rainbow community. In reviewing my notes from the 2007 and 2008 annual meetings, two events stand out. One is when we hosted an overflow crowd here in the sanctuary to celebrate New Jersey's legalizing of gay and lesbian civil unions. Second was when our board approved and the congregation affirmed our hanging of the marriage equality banner in the front of the building. This was a time when we as a congregation were puzzling with how we wanted to broadcast who we are as a community to the larger community and to ourselves. We changed our name, we refurbished the sanctuary and Fletcher Hall, and we started transforming leadership into a spiritual practice. This last initiative, including our striving to make sure that our elected leaders reflected who we want to be as a congregation. Did we have adequate LGBTQ representation on the board? We were already empowering our minister to participate in the New Jersey Marriage Equality Review Commission. Every month, Charlie traveled to Trenton to provide a UU perspective, to educate and to advocate. We are a community of caring and of action. We have signed petitions, we have participated in rallies and marches, we have educated and we have advocated. We have been standing on the side of love militantly. Much love, Sabina.
So I was thinking about this, and there weren't, in the 3 years that I was president, there weren't any of these huge, huge marriage equality moments that I could reminisce about. But the more you thought, more I thought about it, we did very important things here during those 3 years. And I think one of the most important things we did was we addressed the T in LGBT. And I think one of the things I was proudest of this congregation was that they were so welcoming to a transsexual member. And it was just, a very important and meaningful thing for us to be doing. And, you know, I think I will look back on that as the period of civil unions, which were wonderful things, really. I mean, I went to a number of them, and they were heartwarming ceremonies. And people would say, well, look, it's just as good. But we knew it wasn't. We knew it wasn't. And we continued to work on marriage equality. And, you know, bending the arc of the moral universe toward justice just takes time. It takes time, and it's long, and it's hard work. And I think that's what we really were doing during that period, is that we were working hard to bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. And as a result of the work that we were doing during this entire period, but during the 3 years of my presidency, we managed to actually do it. Which, you know, it's doesn't happen that often. So you just have to you know, enjoy it and celebrate it and revel in it. And anyway, it's my reminiscent from that period.
You've really seen a lot of me today. So when my presidency started, there really wasn't a whole lot going on, but two things actually stand out in my memory. I believe it was the first year of my presidency. We had a discussion here. We met on a Wednesday night, and a group of us just kind of sat around and we talked about marriage equality and kind of the state of things, which at that time we were not in a good place. And then we did a candlelight walk from here through Church Street, and a couple of people sort of joined in as we were walking, and that was a great experience. It was a small group of people, but it was a really good experience. That jumped out at me. And then the other thing that actually occurred last year, it may not sound like a good thing, but I think at the end of the day it was. We actually got a complaint from a member of this congregation about the way that they felt that they were being treated. And there was talk about insensitivity, racism, and it was a problem. And instead of just kind of shoving it under the rug and just saying, oh, you know, you misinterpreted it, we didn't mean it that way, we actually took action. We engaged in a process, and we had a group of people meet, whoever wanted to come, meet in the Pearls Room afterwards, and after our service, right after the complaint was made, and we engaged in a discussion. And it wasn't a discussion to solve the problem. It was just sort of giving people an opportunity to express themselves, express their feelings about what it means to be who they are, what it means to be a member of this congregation, and what their expectations are. I would say about 40 people attended that, and it was probably about an hour and a half to 2 hours. It was a really good experience. We're not perfect people. And like Charlie said earlier, you know, it's not that we don't have homophobia. Of course we do. We're human. But just to engage in that process and to acknowledge it and to begin to work on it as a community, to me, was probably one of the more meaningful experiences I've had in this congregation. Fast forward. So here we are. We have this, you know, legislation that's pending, and, you know, we're just gearing up for it. Mike Primo, you know, is one of the leaders of that effort. And just a couple of weeks ago, at the September board meeting, the board yet again approved Standing on the Side of Love. And if you'll recall, the board stood up here and asked the congregation to affirm that, which you did. That occurred on October 6th. There have also been a few other things that we have been doing. We have been attempting to staff callers to call out to the community to ask them to reach out to their legislators. We have contributed to the salary of the coordinator for the UULMNJ marriage equality coordinator position. That was a newly hired position, and they were seeking funds in order to pay that person's salary. This congregation contributed $4,000 to that effort. So, you know, we are, as ever, you know, standing on the side of love. We're right at the front. And so here we are. We've won, but the process continues. Just because it's in writing doesn't make it so. We need to change the hearts and minds of people. And knowing this congregation as well as I do, we'll be on the forefront of that as well. Thanks.
I just want to add a snippet there, and then I'm going to ask a couple of people to join me here. And the snippet that I would like to add, I have to stop this before it gets to the top, or it will knock the clips off that are holding that banner so wonderfully. Back to the rafters. And that's to say that I am so grateful to this congregation for not only allowing me to be so engaged in the work of promoting marriage equality, but for insisting that I be engaged in the work of marriage equality. You wanted to be there, and so you were there with me in New Paltz. You were there with me in the streets of New York, in the streets of Trenton. You were there with me in the hearings of the Civil Union Review Commission, and when we heard the stories of people who told us that civil unions would never allow them or their children to be full citizens of our state, where we say, of course, we're all full citizens. And so I just want to thank our presidents. Thank you so much for being partners with me and for being the link of our partnership, congregation and ministers, in this incredible work. And so I wanted you to know those stories. And now I would like to ask Scott Seal and Frank Ippolito if they would come forward. They have a remembrance that they would like to share.
Good morning. I'm Scott Seal, and this is my partner of 15 years, Frank Ippolito. And just to start off, first off, Charlie has been such a visionary in this work. Actually, on one of the very, very frosty mornings in February in about 2006, I remember driving down to Trenton to demonstrate at the State House, and Stephen Goldstein took me aside, he was the founder of Guardian State Equality, and he said, you know that minister of yours, Charlie Ortman? He said, what is it with him? He's so out in front on this. Does he have a gay son or daughter? I said, no. I said, Stephen, he's just for civil justice. That's our minister. So Charlie said, thank you. And just thank you, everybody here. It's indescribable for me, really, to even tell you what it meant for me this week here in New Jersey to have my love affirmed with my partner of 15 years. I can't quite put it into words, and I wasn't ready for it myself, personally. I was not ready. I just feel so much more in love and so much more empowered And I thank each and every one of you here, because truly, while we could take gay trips and we have gay friends and we can go to gay ghettos, this was always my hood. This was our neighborhood where we could just be who we are with people that we love and feel loved back with our straight friends, with our gay friends, with everybody. And with that, we're going to get married. Charlie did ask if we could get married this Sunday, but as some of you may know, it takes me like 15 minutes to get ready in the morning, and planning an event like this, it'll be in May, and you're all invited, and we can't wait, but again, we're reveling. I think Nick Lewis said something about reveling, so we're reveling in our love, and thank you all.
The bells are ringing. The bells are ringing. So the board had its retreat this week, and we were down in Murray Grove, down the shore. And I went into my bedroom when I first arrived to put my things in, and there was a gift on my bed, which was a bookmark that says at the bottom, complimentary Murray Grove bookmark. And on this bookmark is this quote by Clinton Lee Scott, who was a leading Universalist minister from the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s of the last century. And Clinton Lee Scott wrote, "A vast, encompassing universalism has ever been the condition of our world. Individually, we grow with the growing awareness of our relatedness to all that is." And I thought, well, there's my homily for Sunday. Right there. I want to share a moment with you that picks up on two of the things that were said by the presidents. I want to pick up on, Scott, you said it, with Steve Goldstein asking, why is Charlie so engaged in this work? And I want you to know why I have been engaged in this work. And the tissues are right here, so I'm safe, and hopefully you are as well. But back in 1987, I went to our General Assembly that was held in Milwaukee that year. And I just happened to go to an LGBT event thinking, oh, that's probably something I need to know more about. And at that event, what I learned was the statistics that Ruth Carr shared with you. Thank you for sharing those, Ruth. I learned about those statistics, and I learned about the incredible risk that our gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual youth are at. And not just the risk that they are at, but the incredible loss that our society has endured for such a long time, because it's not just a risk, it's a real loss when those young people lose their lives. And I thought, it was my second year of seminary, and I thought, my ministry will always be about sharing with children that they need to be exactly who they are. That they are the blessing of life's longing for itself in no different way than any other child. And what I recognized in that experience was that the ball was in the court of the straight community. That gays and lesbians could fight for equal rights and for marriage equality, but they would never get it unless those of us who were responsible for helping to make things be as bad as they were, until those of us who were responsible were willing to walk across that line and work towards changing things. And I knew that my ministry would always be about children being told by their congregation, by their religious institution, that they are loved for exactly who they are. And so any involvement I've had in this movement has been about
our children, as well as those who can benefit from any gains that we make now. But, you know, the next generation, the generation that's coming up right now, that generation will know that this congregation stood on the side of love so many times. And maybe the next generation after that will know that this congregation stood on the side of love so many times. But I'm guessing by the generation after that, it will just be the way things are. And won't that be wonderful? Won't that be wonderful? Okay, so two more things that I want to say. Our banner. Probably a year after we put that banner up, we had a visitor come who was interested in being a member of our congregation, and he pulled me aside one Sunday morning. He said, you know, I really love everything that this congregation stands for, even its stand for marriage equality, but why do we have to post it on the front of the building? Why would we have to do that? And I said, so that our children can see it and everyone else. He said, we don't have to be so brazen about that. I said, yes, we do. Until everyone has the same right to marry who they love that you have, we have to have that sign in front, and the congregation says it's so. And so thank you for saying that it's so. And then one more thank you that I want to do, and this is one that I was made more aware of this weekend. I was aware of it, but I was made more aware of it this weekend, and that is this. All of us who are here have entered into this arena from a very different starting place. You know, I felt before 1987, I'm not prejudiced against gay and lesbian, transgender, bisexual people. You know, they're my friends. But I didn't know until 1987 that I needed to do something about their rights. Over the many years that this congregation has been working towards this celebration and towards the wedding that's going to take place this spring, and the wedding that I was at last night, the wedding that I'm going to do here Tuesday evening, ever since this congregation has been involved in that, members of this congregation have entered into this stream, this arc of the universe that we have been participating in from a very different location. And people have been challenged in so many different ways. And in the challenge in different ways, people have had to look at themselves in ways that they hadn't anticipated. People come to service on Sunday morning often to be comforted and to be inspired so that they might live their weeks in a better place. And the truth of it is, sometimes we have to get uncomfortable in order to be inspired, and sometimes we have to be uncomfortable in order to live to that higher place. And I just want to personally thank all of you who are here, for whom that was a difficult challenge. I know the truth of it, and I honor your integrity. We have crossed the line. I've been talking about crossing the line for a while. We've crossed the line for the state of New Jersey. We're the 14th state. My math is not all that good, but I think that leaves 36. And so, while we have this moment to celebrate, the call is still there. And I want to be with you still as we answer it. Let us join together for a moment of prayer. And in this moment, I'm not going to guide you in that prayer. I'm going to ask you to tune into the prayer of your heart in this moment in history, this moment so personal in each of our lives. And in that space, let us hold this moment in quiet. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Annie Dillard, the author, wrote, "The answer must be, I think, that beauty and grace are performed whether or not we will or sense them. The least that we can do is try to be there. We have been there, and we will continue to be there."